Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. You need a good read this summer, and this is your choice. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. And you can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. And when you have a vacation headed to a Disney destination coming up, whether it's out on the West Coast to Disneyland or heading down to Walt Disney World, you want to stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on that vacation. And touringplans.com is the way to go to get that done. With your premium subscription to touringplans.com, you'll have access to the Optimizer, which lets you pick the attractions you're most interested in, uses the data from that day and that moment in the park to let you know the best way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait. That's just one of the many, many services you're going to get with your premium subscription to touringplans.com. Check them out, support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1030 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And that's right, I'm still down at Walt Disney World actually today. Well, if you catch me, if you're downloading like Andrew does first thing on a Sunday night, first of all, happy Father's Day again to all the Disney dads out there. Hope you had a great, great day and weekend. And you got to spend time with your kids. That's what it's all about. Tomorrow on Monday. So if you're listening to this on your commute, check me out on Instagram and Twitter. We're getting on the Disney Dream and we're rolling up in a limo. What's going on? So that'll be fun to see, looking like I'm Lou Mangiello or something. So check that out at BeOurGuestMike on both Instagram and Twitter. You know we'll be hamming it up for that because that might be my only time in a limo since my wedding 10 years ago. So we'll see how that went. So do follow along. But today we're not going to miss any shows. We're going to have a nice trip report. And joining me today, a guest with one of the best names out there. Joining me from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., we have Mallory. Welcome to the show, Mallory.
Thanks, Mike. I'm excited to be here.
Glad to have you. And it's about time I got somebody on the show that is named Mallory that is above 8 years old.
I know. I don't hear that name too often. So it was exciting to hear that your daughter, who is much younger than me, was named Mallory.
It's kind of sad. I know how we came up with the name. My wife and I are both school teachers, so we were floating the lazy river at our little local water. It's just a community center that has like a lazy river that's probably a tenth of a mile around the swimming pool. And we were coming up with a name because Paige's name, she's got a P and my wife's Pam. So Pam said, well, we got to have our daughter's got to have an M because you're Mike. And so we went around, you know, as teachers, it's really tough because you have all these kids that sometimes are not the best kids in the world. Like, oh, nope, not going to have that name. Not going to have that name. And finally, Mallory came out. I don't know if it was family ties because we're in that generation or what, but Mallory it is.
That's why I'm Mallory.
Is it really? That might be why. I don't know. I thought maybe subliminally that's what it was. Anyway, so let's talk Disney. It's a Troop Report day. So you are one of the Running Lizards, which is our awesome running squad that encourages everybody and people get out there and support each other. It's more than amazing. If I say amazing, that is understating it. But you're a runner, so let's start off with, why do you run Disney? Because you do a lot of Run Disney races.
I do. So I've been running Disney since 2011, going to Disney since a long time ago. But my aunt and I really loved to travel to Disney World together, and we were both looking for a way to get healthy and stay healthy. And she's a DVC member, and one of her books came and it had an offer to do the Wine and Dine race. So we signed up in 2011 and we've been running a race at Disney every year since.
Good. So you kind of just got a little information on it. You're a Disney fan. You thought, hey, this is, was kind of one of those things like with me that it was just like, this is kind of a new Disney experience. I love going to the parks, but this is just kind of a new way to see Walt Disney World.
Yeah, it definitely was. I had run a 5K once before, and she had actually done a half marathon before, but we thought, oh, what the heck, let's do a half marathon. And I'm not sure how far ahead we had signed up for that race, but it certainly wasn't the 200 and some days to sign up ahead now.
Yeah, that's the day you always sweat it out. For those that are not Run Disney fans or have never had the Run Disney experience, we've talked about this here on the podcast, sign-up day takes more years off your life than race day. Would you agree, Mallory?
I do. It's a day you have to take off of work
yep.
and sit with several devices and on Facebook in case you need to hit up Jocelyn. So we can get registered for those races.
Yeah, Jocelyn should be hired by Ron Disney. She's kind of like a, you know, like our team mom for the lizard. She makes sure everybody's squared away.
She really is.
Mike's the captain, and she makes sure that we all keep our sanity. And she's signed up probably half of the 700 lizards in some fashion or another, I think, by now. So, well, let's talk about your most recent race, because this one happened out at Disneyland. It's called the Tinkerbell Half Marathon Weekend. It's been moved. It was over Mother's Day weekend this past year, so we haven't talked about that much on the show. So I know we talk a lot about the Florida races, but how was this race for you?
It was really different. I had never been to California before, never been to Disneyland before, but we're going for our coast to coast this year with the Wine and Dine in November. So we needed a Disneyland race to run, and this weekend fit nicely into our schedules. We thought the weather would be great, so we headed out Wednesday, May the 4th.
So talk us through, where'd you stay? Did you stay at a Good Neighbor Hotel, one of the Disneyland hotels?
Yeah, so we actually did both. The first night we were there, we stayed at the Anaheim Fairfield Inn, which is a Marriott on Harbor Boulevard. And it was really nice. I would recommend it to anyone. Off of our balcony, we could actually see the Matterhorn and see the fireworks at Disneyland, which was really, really cool. Then for the rest of the trip, we transferred over to the Grand Californian.
Wow.
Which was awesome.
The perks of DVC.
It was. It was on property like I've never stayed before.
So now this was your first time to Disneyland too?
It was.
Now, see, here's my quandary with that. Now, I'm going to ask you because you've actually experienced it. You know, I thought about running the Disneyland Half Marathon weekend, which is over Labor Day, you know, because I've never been to Disneyland myself. But then I've told myself I want to go to Disneyland the very first time is just a vacation to experience it for the attractions, you know, because race weekends are so hectic and busy. They're fun, but they're definitely not vacation. So how did you feel? I mean, did you feel like you got to see Disneyland outside of the race activities, or how was that?
So we ended up actually staying for 5 nights total, which meant that on the days I ran the 5K and I ran the half marathon. So on the days we weren't racing, we got to see the parks. And on the days we raced, we didn't really feel a lot of pressure to get in the park, to stay late at the park the night before. And I certainly feel like I got almost everything in over the course of those 5 nights.
Yeah, I would think too, you know, as far as running, you know, I remember the day that I ran the Dopey this past January down in Florida, the full marathon on Sunday. I ended up that day, by the end of the night, 38 miles that day, just because of how spread out Walt Disney World is. Because people say you don't want to go back to the hotel and lay down, you'll lock up. But I would think that it's almost better for a runner out at Disneyland just because of the compactness of everything. You can keep moving, but you're going to still be able to see a lot without maybe taking an extra 10,000 steps like you would at World.
Yeah, definitely. I thought I was prepared for how much smaller it was, but once I got there and can feel how sort of intimate and local almost feeling the park was, it made for a totally different experience than I'm used to at the World.
Interesting, interesting. Well, let's talk about the race, because people are probably preparing their you know, race docket for 2017, and Tinkerbell may be one they're considering. So how was the race, considering you've done them down at World? Probably a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely different. So I've only ever run the Wine and Dine half marathon when it was at night. I know this year it's going to be in the morning. And it was very different getting up for a half marathon in the morning, I will say. What was nice, though, was that we didn't have to get on a bus. I didn't have to get on a shuttle. I walked out of my hotel room 45 minutes before the race start and was in my corral ready and waiting.
That is crazy. That's just nuts because, I mean, for those that have run any of these early morning races, you know, it's not so much for the night race like Tower of Terror and Wine and Dine how they used to be. But, I mean, people look like zombies going out to these buses, loading on the – nobody talks on the bus going to the – because it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. So, man, you know what? You've already 50% sold me, Mallory, on heading west.
Yeah, for the 5K as well. So the 5K started in Disneyland Park with Tinkerbell flying over the castle several times, not just once. She flew back and forth a few times, and Carissa just kind of released us in big chunks. And that was awesome to run through Disneyland all lit up, and then California and Cars Land all lit up in the morning was absolutely amazing.
So now the field is a lot smaller out there, correct? You know, considering that the Walt Disney World races sometimes will have upwards of 20,000, 25,000 in a race.
Yeah, you could definitely tell it was a lot smaller. Especially for the half marathon. I have never been in the last corral before. And once our corral had kind of hit between mile 2 and 3, when we were running backstage, we actually had kind of come to a standstill. I stood waiting to kind of walk through this one area for almost 10 minutes.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
It was pretty packed there, but once we kind of spread out onto the streets of Anaheim, you could feel how much smaller the race was. There just wasn't the sort of crush of people that I usually feel during a Walt Disney World race.
Now, I've also learned over the years, too, that there's a lot of a different feel during the race, you know, when you're getting your miles in, because obviously at Disneyland, you don't have as much on-property time as you do down at World, because World, everything's on property, maybe not in a park, but you're on, you know, Osceola Boulevard, or, you know, you're still on property. So I've heard that out there you kind of have more of the locals coming out to give you some encouragement, cheerleaders, bands, car clubs, stuff like that. So did you notice any of that? And which do you prefer, the World atmosphere or the Disneyland atmosphere?
Yeah, so during the half, around mile 8 were the Red Hat Ladies, which I was expecting, I was anticipating. I had read about in other people's blogs and on other people's podcasts, and so I was excited to see them, and there must have been 300 or 400 women in purple outfits and red hat, ringing bells, cheering us on. And it was, you know, about 8 miles is kind of where I hit my half marathon wall. So it was perfect timing for me.
And the local Cracker Barrel was packed right after that, I'm sure.
But other than that, you know, I'm not sure if it was because I was toward the back of the pack or if it just, because it was Mother's Day weekend, moms were doing other things other than kind of sitting on the sidelines with their kids watching the race. But I didn't feel the same kind of crowd support that I was used to getting in Walt Disney World.
Interesting. Because I know that so give a piece of advice, because we're going to move on to some of the other races, but give one piece of advice. I know a lot of our lizards are going out and running, you know, in September out at Disneyland, and a lot of them are going for the first time for a West Coast race for the same thing, to get their coast to coast. So what might somebody that's run down in Florida need to know to make their experience better for out at Disneyland?
I think my number one advice would be, if you need to be entertained during the course, make sure you have lots of great music loaded onto your iPod or your iPhone or whatever non-Apple device you might use to listen to music during your race. I really missed having that. There were definitely some stretches of Harbor Boulevard and in other areas of Anaheim that it was just sort of monotonous road running.
good tip. It's always good
that
to have
I really miss.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is too with that, you know, there's been many times I've created like a custom list and, you know, tried to imagine, okay, this song's 4 minutes long, you know, I should be about here, you know, and the thing is then I get down in Florida a lot of times and I don't listen to anything because I like to hear the people around me. I like to hear the entertainment on the course, but you know, with that, what's the harm in having it there at the ready for in case you start to hit the wall and there's nothing out there.
Right. But, you know, on the flip side of that, it felt so much more relaxed. I wasn't nervous that I was going to miss a bus or miss the race start or not know where I was going or any of that, that I usually feel at the World or that I felt the first few times I ran at the World. It was really well marked and, you know, everyone was really friendly. All the races at runners are usually very friendly, but they were really helpful if you needed to find anything. So that was definitely a positive of running in Disneyland.
And you know, I from what I've heard, again, I got to get out there, but you know, it is more of a locals park and it seems like kind of more of a mom and a pop kind of experience where, you know, that kind of fits what I think of the overall theme of just visiting Disneyland, that people are, you know, very friendly and very kind. It's not maybe so fast-paced like at Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World, even on vacation, can sometimes feel really intense because people are trying to get in as much as they can because they've paid this much money. Where if you have locals, you know, they're there more, so they don't have to, I guess they wouldn't have that same kind of mindset. And maybe it carries over to the runners.
Yeah, we felt that way the entire trip inside of the parks, even when it was busy. Everyone just kind of felt relaxed, like they had done this before, like it's kind of normal for them, and it definitely made for a different kind of trip that we really enjoyed.
All right, sounds great. So everybody's heading down for Labor Day for the Disneyland Half Marathon weekend. Good luck, and it sounds like you're going to have a great race. Now let's head back down to Walt Disney World because it's a Monday, and we're going to talk a little bit more, you know, outside of running. You were down there for Princess Half Marathon weekend, which takes place in February. But let's kind of talk about some of the stuff outside of the races for our non-running friends, because we always want to make sure that we balance everything out here. If you're not a runner, I totally get that. I'm kind of on a hiatus right now, forced hiatus, which is killing me. But I, you know, I'm at Walt Disney World right now, and when we get off the cruise here in a couple days, we're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So that's where you guys stay, but you stayed in a two-bedroom for this weekend, right?
Yeah, so my aunt is DVC, and that's their home resort. So there were five of us, four adults and one 17-year-old boy, so pretty much five adults. And we stayed in a two-bedroom, which was great. It had, it was basically a one-bedroom that had an attached studio.
Nice.
So we could shut the door between, but we had a full kitchen. We are the kind of park tours that like to make breakfast in the hotel every morning and pack a lunch and bring snacks and then do one big dining experience pretty much every day.
Well, so those accommodations would be perfect for that kind, you know, because that way you got your two meals, you have the space to prepare them, you have the supplies there, and that's the, you know, this is where DVC really kind of pays off, I would think.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think, you know, when we go to other non-Disney hotels and there's no kitchen or, you know, things like that, we have to kind of remind ourselves where we are or where we're not.
You can't make grilled cheese with the iron. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. All right. So what did you think of Animal Kingdom Lodge as a whole, though? You had the accommodations there for five of you in the two bedroom. Sounds like everybody had enough space. You used the kitchen area, which a lot of people don't, which is kind of cool that you guys got to use that. But, you know, as a whole with that resort, did you guys spend, you know, quite a bit of time there? Were you in the parks mostly?
It was kind of a mixture. We probably were a little more relaxed on this trip than we usually are. It was freezing cold during this trip, like winter jacket cold. And so I think we spent a little less time in the parks than we usually do. But we did eat at Boma twice. We loved it so much. We had it for dinner our first night there and then went back for breakfast the morning before we left because it was amazing.
Which did you prefer if you had to pick one, dinner or breakfast at Boma? A lot of people ask that of me, you know, in planning.
I don't know. I know there are a lot of great breakfast places in Walt Disney World, but if you're not requiring there to be characters there, I'd definitely go with Boma for breakfast. It was awesome.
Good deal. And it's great to have that right there at your resort. And I think that's one of the best things about Animal Kingdom Lodge is that it's, you know, for people that haven't stayed there, I encourage you at least to go over and visit, because it's almost like a, like walking through, you know, there's a bunch of exhibits throughout the resort. You'll come upon, you know, of course you have the animals to look at out on the savannas, but, you know, where this, these kind of alcoves are, there'll be artifacts from Africa, and you can learn a lot from masks and, you know, just cultural things that they use in Africa. And, you know, you have that, you have Boma, Jiko, Sanaa, you know, I mean, you have great dining options. Even the Mara is pretty good. Great pools. I mean, did you kind of feel that, especially you mentioned it was really, really cold. We're always down there in the summertime, but I think this would be like a really comfortable place to be in a cold climate.
Yeah, it was. I mean, all the animals were out and moving around. They were too hot to be out. The only thing we really couldn't do at the resort was swim, which we didn't miss. We spent almost every kind of afternoon break with an iced tea and a little snack out on our balcony, just watching the animals eat, and it was amazing. We love staying there. We stay there almost every time we go.
It is awesome. I mean, this is why it's our third time here in a couple days. When we get off the cruise, we're going to be at Animal Kingdom Lodge, so watch for the pictures. I love taking pictures of everything, especially the artifacts, because, you know, I'm from Missouri. We don't get a lot of African artifacts, and I find that stuff just, you know, it's incredible. The amount of skill it takes to just tailor one of those tribal masks, and just the history of how this was passed down generation to generation to generation in every detail means something. I don't know. I'm blown away by the place because of the authenticity. I mean, do you feel that there too?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've been talking about doing the Adventure by Disney safari, the real one in Africa.
Nice.
So just because we love just being able to slowly wander back to our room or to our dining reservation and, you know, kind of stop at one of the desks and talk to the cast member and see what they, you know, see what they're showing. I was an anthropology major in college, so I'm definitely interested in everything, you know, the cast members have to offer and to share.
I was saying, that's right up your alley, boy. That's perfect. You're in the right spot. Okay, so in the notes you sent me, you guys mentioned that you guys had breakfast at Akershus after the 5K. Great idea. So how did that work out for you?
We did. So for the 5K, my fiance and I dressed as Aladdin and Jasmine.
Nice.
So then after, we kept on our costumes, and this was probably my most stressful ADR, just trying to decide the perfect time that I would cross the finish line for the 5K, and we would get right into line there at Epcot to head to our ADR. So we did end up having an 8 a.m. ADR, which worked perfectly for us. We were in the park and headed straight back and got pictures with all of the princesses in my princess outfit.
Well, you know, that's a great way to get a PR on a 5K, because you can tell yourself, man, I'm going to miss my ADR. I got to hustle. I mean, when it comes to princesses and food, I mean, that'll get you moving out there.
Yeah, it definitely did. This was our first time eating there, or I've never eaten in the castle either, so our first time eating with princesses. And it was really great. We were all grown-ups. We didn't have any little kids with us, but we felt welcome. The princesses, you know, came over to our table and chatted with us. The only thing they didn't do was invite us to do the parade with them.
Ah, what can you do? But I mean, you guys were already dressed up. I love, that's a great idea. So let me just ask you this as an aside, because I don't run in a costume. I run in a lizard shirt because I have a hard enough time just running. I couldn't imagine these costumes people wear. Now, was it tougher running in a costume than you thought, or not as bad? I mean, because I know a lot of people consider it, but now that you've done it, what do you think?
Well, because of the weather, we definitely modified our costumes a lot. So I ended up in running tights, a long sleeve shirt, and just my Princess Jasmine tutu and headpiece. And my fiance ran in his long pants, long shirt, a blanket, And then his Aladdin vest and shorts over his outfit. So I didn't have all the accessories we had planned on having, but for a 5K, I thought the costume was totally fine. I don't think I could run a longer distance in a costume, and I give a lot of props to those who do.
Yeah, like Kimberly Torres-Markey, you know, like she always has the most over-the-top costumes with all of her friends, Gail and everybody, and it's just incredible to see that, because I'm just like, I'm going to get a picture with you guys, and I'm going to run on in my running shorts and, you know, performance t-shirt. That's all I have, because I, you know, like I said, I can't imagine. It's unbelievable. Some of the guys from Team Shenanigans, you know, they all ran the Wine and Dine this past year dressed up like people from Spaceship Earth. You know, and Chris, I think, was Spaceship Earth. I mean, come on now.
I have to say, now that they're doing the fast pass on the course, which was amazing, having fast pass, or not, I'm sorry, photo pass on the course, now I feel a little more pressure to dress up for my race.
Yeah, and you know what? I was kind of nervous about that at first, thinking, ooh, marathon photo, or, you know, whoever did the photos, that's what they do. You know, they're going to be the best at it. I'll be honest, I think the photo pass photographers for Disney are doing better, and I'm actually going to get them because I have an annual pass, so I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I think that was an awesome decision on Disney's behalf.
Yes, it was. All right, so let's talk about also some other things you did over this weekend, which you did a couple of tours. You did Behind the Scenes, which, of course, is, I always tell everybody, it's kind of your intro to Disney tours because it's probably the least expensive. But you also did Dive Quest. So tell us about your experiences with those.
We did. So my fiance is very interested in farming, and so I thought this was the perfect way to give him a little Disney magic with something he's really interested in, because I think he tolerates Disney for me.
Oh, no.
So the Behind the Scenes tour was actually really interesting. We did get a Mickey-shaped slice of cucumber, and we got to watch the people in the boats float by as we walked around and kind of saw where they grow these huge vats, tanks. Tanks is probably a better word, of tilapia, and the kind of way they grow the tomatoes, instead of having them vining straight up, they wrap them around these posts, which was really cool. And actually, some of the things we saw on that tour, we've adapted to our little home garden.
Interesting. So you guys are now practicing hydroponics.
We are.
And aquaponics and all the ponics, they tell you on the boat.
We are. Our kale is growing like a weed. Unfortunately, we don't really eat kale, but we have a lot of it.
That's cool. So tell us about Dive Quest, because that's one we don't ever talk about here on the show, and I'm very interested in it.
Yeah, so this is actually my second time doing it. And it's about a 3 to 4 hour tour. They have you meet kind of over near the tank where the diver comes down, and then they drain the water out in the seas. And then they take us backstage and walk us through the classrooms where they do, you know, their research laboratory. And then they take us back and we can see the dolphins and where they do some of the training with the dolphins. And then eventually they show you a video, of course. And then they get you fitted in a wetsuit. And they put you in the tank, and you kind of get a brief lesson on how to use the oxygen tank, which you're just kind of snorkeling at the top. The tank doesn't let you go down into the water, basically keeps you afloat the whole time. But this way you can keep your face in the water for the whole time, which is about 30 to 40 minutes you're in the tank. We had sea turtles come up close to you, and because they're a protected species, they are allowed to touch you, but you're not allowed to reach out and touch them, which is interesting. I had a couple of skates actually brush my feet, which was kind of freaky, but it was really cool. I think if you're interested in sea life, and if you're a comfortable swimmer, you don't necessarily need to be a strong swimmer, but if you're a comfortable swimmer, it's an amazing tour that that you should really take advantage of at Disney. I think it's a really cool opportunity that they give their guests, and you should definitely give it a try.
So I know on the one where you actually scuba dive, you have to be certified, but this one, you just they just kind of give you the introduction and put you in there, and you just stay towards the top, right?
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to have any certification to do it.
Cool.
Yeah. You should know how to swim.
I would imagine. I would hope so, you know, before you get in there. So, let me ask you this. What's the water temperature like? Because you can see it, but you can't actually, you know, unless you do something like this, you can't feel it. Is it? Because I know, like, I've swam with the sharks. Is it freezing? Because at Typhoon Lagoon, they put me in with the sharks over there years ago, and I was like, man, I can't breathe because it's just so dang cold in this tank.
It is not as cold as that tank. That tank is frigid. But you're also in a full wetsuit.
Yeah. I've never been in a wetsuit, so I don't know. that probably helps.
It does keep you much warmer. But no, it's not freezing. The water's not that uncomfortable. Really, really the thing for me was that some of the skates actually come up on the platform that you stand on, and as you're kind of moving up there to get your gear off, I stepped on one of them.
Oh no.
Not enough to hurt him, but enough to scare me.
I was gonna say no. Oh goodness. Well, that sounds like a cool one, and you know, I like how you approach behind the scenes. You know, for somebody that is interested in gardening or kind of agriculture, that kind of stuff, it's a great introduction. It's very, you know, low risk because it's not super expensive. That's, you know, I think that's one of those things that folks that get to go down to Walt Disney World more than two or three or four times, you really do need to seek out a tour that interests you, because it's kind of like Run Disney. It's a unique way to see something. You know, you've probably seen it 10 times before, but this time you're going behind the curtain and you're looking at the same thing in a very different way, I think, many times.
Yeah, and it's also great if you don't want to buy a park ticket. You don't actually need a park ticket. They'll meet you at the security entrance and let you in. So if you're looking to do something on a day that maybe your whole group doesn't want to go, it's just a few of you, or you're only there and you have kind of a later flight, you know, it's kind of a great opportunity to fit something in like that.
It's a great tip. All right. Well, you know, we're just about out of time, but let's look forward to Wine and Dine weekend this November, which, you know, I'm excited. We got the challenges this year, which is something new, the Gaston's challenge. So let me first of all ask you, because you've done the night races, are you more excited or disappointed that they moved the half marathon to the morning from the night?
You know, I'm not sure. I think as a slower runner, I'm kind of excited that I'll get to enjoy the whole party. Usually I would come in at 2:30. And really only be there for about an hour before they started shuffling us off to the buses. Mm-hmm. So now I'll get to finish the race and shower.
Yeah, what's that about? Yeah.
Which is always nice. And then, you know, have the energy to really, really enjoy that part of why we're all going to run, wine, and dine, which is really the dine part.
Yes, it is. It's that's a good excuse just to go down or during food and wine. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
All right. So are you going to run this one is your aunt running with you, or are you taking a whole group again, or how's that going?
No, it's actually just my aunt and I. This is our first trip, just the two of us. So we're really excited to be able to complete this together. We started it 5 years ago, and we're excited to continue it together.
All right. Well, hey, before we get out of here, because you have me excited, I love talking to our lizards, our running squad folks, because it just gets me amped up. Even though I'm not running right now, I'm still so inspired by everybody out there. And I know that you've been doing some swimming, some cross training. What advice might you give somebody who's listening to this here in the middle of, you know, to late June, and you know, maybe they're thinking about, I want to try one of these races. It kind of, you know, sounds like something that might get me motivated. You know, maybe I need to shed a couple pounds. Maybe I just need to kind of adopt a more healthy lifestyle. What gets you taking that first training run through your neighborhood? What, you know, what can get you going?
For me, it was watching kind of our lizard news feed and seeing how excited everyone was, whether they completed a 1 mile walk or a 10 mile training run, and to kind of feed off of their positive energy. And when I would post something, I would get so many responses and so much encouragement, and it just kept me going. This was probably the race I trained the most for, just because I had the lizards backing me up the whole time.
That's awesome. That's what this is all about. And I'm just so proud to be a teammate of yours and with all the other lizards. So, Mallory, thanks for carving out some time from DC tonight and sharing it and inspiring everybody and giving us a taste of Disney here on a Monday. So thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the great book, The Wisdom of Walt. And I'm telling you, it is summertime and you need something good to read. You need to inspire yourself, but also this is a self-improvement book. You're going to get lots of tips of how to apply the strategies Walt used in his life to meet success that you can do the same for your life, both personal, business, and just making yourself happier. So I encourage you, you know, you can get the audiobook. You can do that. That's a great way, you know, lay in the hammock in the evening this summer, listen to The Wisdom of Walt, you know, and get ready because Dr. Jeff Barnes, the author, is coming out with a new book here not too long. So, you know, you got to read the first one so you can be ready for the second one. So check that out, thewisdomofwalt.com. All the great information over there. And of course, we're also sponsored by the great folks at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Studios Florida vacation. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Do give us a follow on the social media. Again, I am sailing out on the Disney Dream today, so I'll be tweeting away until we get out of cell range, and then I'm turning that sucker off because I can't afford the bill. But then we'll be back again on the 24th as we check into Animal Kingdom Lodge. So give me a follow both on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we'll be broadcasting live on Facebook as well, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We'll do some from the ship before we get out past Jetty Park, so tune in for that. Probably the sail away. It'll be a good time. Also, check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for checking in. Hope you enjoyed today's trip report, and hopefully it inspired you a little to get out there and take that first step. If you haven't, you know, all these marathoners, it all started with one step, and that can be you, and it can be you today. So get out there and give it a shot. So for Mallory, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Have a great week and be very productive, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.